You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Here we go, National Mason Jar Day. You guys asked for it, we delivered. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice, local news and talk. Big shoe today. We have Carlos Ruiz and Chris Ackerley, former state representative. They will be here at 7:07 in the Refute Frank Antonori Hour. So, 7:07, as we'd like it to say, it is a spicy meatball, as we like to say. And then third hour, Matt Salmon running for governor. So, should be a fun little show. Tomorrow is the next installment of the History of Tucson Radio with Eddie A. and Jimmy Bednarik.
Eddie A., he of 1 year of retirement.
It's true. It's true. We haven't forgotten about you yet. Not yet. So, but again, Ed Alexander, he's the man. He is the man.
Absolutely.
He's one of the great blessings of doing, a lot of blessings doing this show over 12 years, and one of the greatest is getting to be friends and going through the journey with Ed Alexander. Ed Alexander was a registered Democrat when this show started. That's all I'm telling you. And then Higgins and I just ruined the poor bastard. So,
converted him.
So here we are, to his wife's, you know, dismay sometimes. So, we love you, Jules. So today is one day that's not, it's Giving Tuesday. So let's talk about Giving Tuesday for a sec. And I put this on the old Wastebook yesterday, and I will say it and I will scream it to the back row. If you are giving money to a university on Giving Tuesday, you are a fool. A fool. The University of Arizona, I believe. Are you recording this so I can get in trouble later? Tell me right now. Tell you. Here we go. Now it's getting recorded. Jeez. So when Dr. Robbins complains to Patty, I can have something to send to him. Here we go. Thank God. All right, let me refer. I want to get this on the recording. If you're giving money to a university on Giving Tuesday, you are a fool. The University of Arizona Foundation, whatever they call it. How much, Matt, do you remember how much money's sitting in that thing? Did you see this? Remember that story last month?
I think the word started with a B.
Yes, it's Dr. Evil. $1 billion. I get this crap from NAU, right? Because I remember years ago, I remember being at my parents' house and the phone rang. And I picked it up. This is before cell phones. That tells you how long ago it was, right? And they're like, oh, hello, is Christy Simone there? And I go, oh, this is his father. Oh, Mr. D. Simone. Yeah, we can't find the guy. He blew out to Singapore. And, you know, please get him off your list. Right. But the SOBs found me 20 years later. I don't know how they did it. So I'm back on the NAU email list. So,
cyber stalking.
They are. Yes, the universities are great at lots of things, including cyber stalking. Correct. Now, there are so many bona fide charitable organizations. Why would you give money to organizations that trap kids in $120,000 of student loans? Why would you do that? Are you insane? Why would you enable such bad behavior? Stop it. It reminds me, it's like Mad TV that was on Fox, right? One out of every 9 or 10 gave me a giggle, okay? There's one where the guest star is Bob Newhart, and he's a psychiatrist. Sound familiar? And the girl, Mo Collins, comes in and she tells him all. He has this thing where he goes, look, it only costs $10 this session. I only take exact change. So I'm not giving change. And that's it. And this is not going to last more than 5 or 10 minutes. She's like, oh, okay. So she starts giving him everything she's got problems with. I have problems with intimacy. I don't trust my mother, blah, blah, blah. And then he just says, all right. And then he just yells at her and he goes, stop it. Right? She goes, but I just, stop it. Stop it. And this is when I hear people going, well, you know something? I think I'm going to give $1,000 to the U of A. Stop it. So think about all these great charitable organizations that you can support who really need your money, that's not going to support Dr. Robin's $1 million salary in an office across the street from the White from the Congress that costs us $1 million a year there. Right? This is industry, man. I don't, we're a non-profit land grant. You know, stop it. Back to Bob Newhart. Stop it. I can't believe it took me 12 years to get to this Bob Newhart thing. Stop it. Okay? So think about all these amazing places that you have been exposed to through this show. Right? Sister Jose Women's Shelter. Who needs the money more? Sister Jose Women's Shelter or Dr. Robbins? Or Dr. Crow? Or Dr. Raven, whoever's the guy at NAU. Everyone's named after, I just name everyone, all these overpaid people after birds. Okay? Right? So, or, oh, I don't know, Gap Ministries. Right in the heart of Flowing Wells. Feeding kids, fostering kids, supporting other nonprofits. I don't know, you know, trying to lift people up out of poverty. Do they need your money more, or does the dean of inclusivity making $275,000 at the U of A need your money? Oh, I don't know, Gospel Rescue Mission, right? So not only do they have a proven record of lifting people out of poverty and their work with this HSL thing over at the old Holodome, I don't know, seems pretty cutting edge that it's a one-stop shop to help people get their lives back on track. And of course, I like it because it has a gospel angle to it, which they have, Roy Telgren, Pastor Roy, who's been on the show, has shown that it's kind of proven that it helps. Okay. I feel like I'm missing some. You want to help the Humane Society? You want to help a dog shelter? You're better off doing that than giving it to the Crow, Raven, or Rockin' Robin. I cannot fathom anyone giving money to God forbid you're giving money to a private university. Even worse. Actually, they all stick. So think of all the great nonprofit, and please don't give any money to the Southern Arizona Food Bank. That's another one. Don't waste your money on those people. Waste of money. Just if you have $50 you're going to give to the food bank, I'll do the old Chamber of Commerce thing. Throw it in a barrel of fire and burn it. You're better off than giving that to Michael McDonald and the food bank. So I'm just telling you, it's Giving Tuesday. We have so many great nonprofits. Ones that, oh, I don't know. Here's another one. Bike in the Box. Are you better off taking $1,000, right, and getting a bunch of bikes, 19 bikes for kids at Christmas, or making sure Dr. Robbins has the best Mercedes-Benz he can buy? What do you got for me? What do you got for me? That's where we're at. Now, the question is, does Dr. Robbins drive himself? I don't know. At $1 million and that precious brain inside that precious head, do we really want him driving himself? Would he lower himself to drive himself? When I went to his box up at the U of A stadium and I found that every picture had him in it, it gave me an insight into Dr. Robbins that's even better. I mean, imagine in your office, every picture had you. If you had an office, every picture had you in it. Every picture. I mean, what are you, like a Hollywood agent? So what I'd like you to do, 790-2040, during the show, if you have a true bona fide charitable nonprofit that is worthy of money on Giving Tuesday that people might waste at the University of Arizona, NAU, or ASU, give us a call. I would love to hear from you at 790-2040 is the phone number. You know, Matt, I'm a big fan of the Babylon Bee. I know you're a fan.
Absolutely.
Also.
They got some great writers.
The one this morning. White smoke emanates from Wuhan lab chimney, signaling a new variant has been named.
That was a good one.
They are, as Bill Beard constantly says, the writers at the Bee are constantly underpaid. You're better off donating money to the Babylon Bee than giving it to the robin, the crow, or the raven. Seriously. Or as Al Gore would say on South Park, I'm cereal. Let's go to break. You're on a Wake Up Tucson non-coughing half hour on the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 the boys. Oh, Pat Hirsch. Give your money to Treasure for Teachers instead of Dr. Robbins and the University of Arizona. Well played, Pat. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 the voice, local news and talk.
Mark the tape. This will be the only time I play Barry Manilow. It's Dick Clark's birthday, so happy heavenly birthday to Dick Clark.
Who knew we're going to learn this today, that ESQ hates Barry Manilow? Woo! Wow. Risking the rage, the cancel culture from the Manilodes. So of course, it's Dick Clark's birthday. He's 174. His pact with Satan has worked very well for him to live this long. God bless you, Dick. Now, what's really funny, back to the Ed Alexander one-year anniversary of his retirement. Again, Ed will be on in the third hour with Jimmy Bednarik tomorrow, which will be totally fun and hilarious. I think Ed had, as he grew up in the 60s, right, there were two people Ed wanted to be, right? Dick Clark. Now, you're going to love this. Here's a dichotomy for you. And Jim Morrison. It just hit me as you played it for me. Right? Because remember, Ed was the lead singer of a Doors cover band called The End. But at the same time, just because I've known Ed for so long, I know he adored Dick Clark as he grew up. And so, you know, radio guy, presenter, Dick Clark, but at the same time, growing the hair long and, you know, belting out Light My Fire. That's the dichotomy. That's the two sides of Eddie A, which is beautiful. That's a great combo. So, happy 174th birthday to Dick Clark. You know, it's so amazing if you get to talk to a guy like Dick, and he can talk about, you know, getting to know President Lincoln like he did as a young guy. It's pretty cool. So
he never looked a day over 30.
It's also Billy Idol's birthday today, so we'll do some Idol. The guy from Ice House from Australia. We got it all today. This is a big day. So I remember my buddy Joe was in New York. I have a lot of Joes in my life. And he was driving into the city, and he was in an Uber or something like that, because he took the train in or something. And he takes a picture of a billboard. You're going to love this. It was from the New York City Department of Environmental Quality. And it had a picture of Billy Idol, like, yeah, you know, with the fist up and looking all whatever. And says, Billy says, don't idle your car so much. And it just seemed to take the edge off of Billy's, you know, reputation / you know.
As doing PSAs.
Yeah, PSAs and shilling. Shilling for the New York City Department of Economic Quality. The president of South Africa. Cyril Ramaphosa. I love that name. That's cool. President of South Africa, raging against travel bans. He repeatedly called unjustified travel bans on the citizens of his country and its neighbors by much of the West and the Middle East. He called on nations banning South Africans from entry, including the U.S., to urgently undo those policies before they further damage the African economies. He appeared to channel growing frustration in South Africa that the nation's being punished with travel bans for simply being the first to identify and alert to this word to this new variant. So I think that, I don't know if it was by him or then also the president of Malawi, Lazarus Chakwera, on Sunday, and denounced bans imposed by the Biden administration and called it Afrophobia. So now we have the presidents of the president of Malawi talking about the Mad Hatter, our new title for the president, the Mad Hatter going after in relation to calling it Afrophobia. What does Black Lives Matter think about everyone in Africa saying that now they're the Biden administration has a phobia towards Africans? I just want to make sure we got all of our cards in the right stacks here. And if you remember when President Trump said yes. We would like to ban, I want to ban flights out of China. If you remember, he said, everyone said he's a xenophobe. Right? Remember Nancy Pelosi was in the middle of all those people at Chinatown for Chinese New Year? Come on down! You're on The Price is Right. Now, what's really interesting is, let me ask you this. So Peter Doocy, who's the son of Steve Doocy on Fox, if he was not in the White House press pool, would anyone ask this idiot Psaki a question anymore? Why is only Peter Doocy asks an actual question of Psaki? It's amazing.
Good point.
I mean, who else is there? Every time I see Psaki put on the point, right? It's Doocy. It's nobody else. Am I missing? Is there someone else in the press corps that's pushing the White House with at least some sort of question better than, did the president eat Rocky Road on that ice cream cone, or what was that? You know, is the almonds in the Rocky Road tough on his teeth? I mean, what are we doing here? Right? So at least Trump would sit out there and go bang with these people. He'd go do the press conference. Let's roll. Whatever you got for me, right? So now we're to a point where we have a president that has to get the questions pre-done before he gets there. He has a seating chart on who to point to, right? They play him off with music when they want him to stop talking. I mean, this is like a bad movie. This is like, you know, this is like the president of one of those in a movie that's very dystopian, right? It's like Donald Sutherland in the Hunger Games or any of these other things. This is what we're doing. So he asks her. So the claim is, this is from Joel Pollack on Breitbart. Biden's not a hypocrite for his newly imposed travel ban on African nations after he called Trump's ban on China hysterical xenophobia. Because Psaki said he was responding to a tweet, right? But the verdict is false. Biden was not responding to a tweet. Trump was consulting the health scientists at the time of the travel ban. Biden's attack backfired about the hysterical xenophobing and dogged him throughout the campaign until he actually admitted, Joe Biden, that Trump was right. This is April 3rd of 2020. Biden campaign says he backs Trump's China ban. So when Jen Psaki sits there and says, oh no, this is only about a tweet. Bullcrap. Again, you guys, we're getting played. We're at a point where you're just getting played. 2 years. You have to suffer 2 years of getting played by these fools, and see what they want is they're throwing so much crap up on that wall, and they're going to see what sticks, and we'll see if the Republicans have the brains the brawn and the guts to reverse it. Unlike the Obamacare problem. So, let's go to break. Bottom of the hour news. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk.
Happy birthday to David Sanchez, Bruce Springsteen's first keyboardist.
There he is. Billy.
Seems less edgy now that you've spilled the beans on his public service announcement.
Tia Gloria's up in Adam. She is suggesting the Red Cross of Southern Arizona, run by our good friend Courtney, son of Ed and Julie. Daughter of Ed and Julie.
Breaking news.
Thank you. That's a great suggestion. So, so if you just tuned in, might be a little staticky for some of you. We are my first rant. Right out the chute. Right? First race, 300-yard quarter horse race, just came right out of the chute. And today's Giving Tuesday. And my suggestion is that if you are giving your hard-earned money to a university, you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. St. Vincent de Paul Society, someone just said, you could give it to something like that. You could give it to Gap Ministries. You could give it to Gospel Rescue Mission. You could give it to the Sister Jose Women's Shelter. Trust me. Well, you know what you should do? You should drive to President Robin's office. And then drive to the Sister Jose Women's Shelter 3 minutes south. And you're going to say, geez, let me give more money to Dr. Robbins. Are you insane? Let me say it again. Are you insane? You're better off. Let's say you're an animal lover. Go find yourself. You got the Humane Society. There's lots of little shelters out there that need your help. Lots of them. Hey, we got that lady Julie who came on the show, Festerling, right? And she's the one with icon power, right? But her and this other mom who lost their kids to a driver looking at their stupid cell phone have a, I always get it wrong, but drop the phone, stop and drive thing, whatever they call it, right? You're better off giving Julie and that other mom who are trying to get the word out for these people, stop driving with your phones. I was talking to a cop. A couple of weeks ago, and he says the amount of people watching videos in their car now is unbelievable, right? Even if they got the hand, it's even worse with the hands. This is the new thing with the hands free, right? You got it up there, right? And you pop on YouTube and you're watching best outtakes from Rhoda, right? While you're driving. I mean, so again, give us a call. Text me, message me. Who can you give money to on Giving Tuesday that's not the University of Arizona, NAU, or ASU? Please. There's so many places out there that could use your help. A lot of them. Bike in the Box. Well, let's do this. Let's say you say, you know, honey, I'm going to give $1,000 to the University of Arizona because I would like the chairs in the office across from the U.S. Congress to be made out of pure velvet. Because God forbid the lobbyists have to sit on some sort of hard plastic upon their wonderful rumps. Who knew I was going to say the phrase wonderful rumps today? But let's go do math on the air. So Jesse Ligo needs $55 a bike. Okay. So $1,000 divided by half. All right. So that's 18.1 bicycles. Are you better off getting 18 kids a new bike for Christmas who could really use it to help turn their life around, or get the lobbyists at the University of Arizona cushier chairs in the office at DC? What do you think? Because if you have to really think about that, your priorities are really screwed. Again, give it to your church. If you have a church that you think does good work, I don't know, doing crazy things like, I don't know, feeding the poor, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, do it. So please keep sending your suggestions of places that we could give the money to that's not a overpaid bunch of university bureaucrats. Remember, the U of A hired two diversity czars, even though they only needed one, supposedly they needed one, because they just couldn't make their mind up. So let's blow a half a mil on two morons. Just saying. Just saying. Matt, what's the crime beat look like out there today? So I know we had a shooting. What do we got here today? Oh, thank you, sir.
On Thanksgiving Day.
Wow.
We had an armed robbery on the U of A campus.
Where's Dr. Robbins talking about this? I know he wants to talk about Scariants and, you know, him and Carmona running around in their full body suits, their body condoms. Where's he on this one? Don't you think Robbins should be out there going, we're investigating this, and, you know, we should just, you know, everyone needs to calm down and blah,
how
blah,
can
blah.
This be? This is a gun-free zone. You know, the whole bit.
Before this show's over, I will get, maybe I'll do it when we come back, I will get to Laura Conover's amazing, and when I say amazing, I don't mean it, okay, op-ed about the homicides going on in this town. Because it's magical, and when I say magical, I don't mean magical. So we'll get to that before it's all over. So, okay, so we got an armed robbery on the U of A Thanksgiving Day near Yuma Hall. Okay. 5'10" wearing a black hoodie. Then we have an officer-involved shooting at Valencia and Oak Tree. Is the gentleman... Oh, he was pronounced dead at the scene. Okay. Then we have the stabbing... near Dodge Boulevard. The Acres is just en fuego right now. A man is facing numerous charges and recovering from stab wounds after he and a female friend allegedly got in the fight. Wow. So the question is, wow.
Time to reevaluate your friendships if they're getting all stabby with you.
But oh, who knows?
He was the one that was... charged, right? So
yikes. So again,
domestic violence, I'm sure.
Of course, that's totally the so then we have this story about the culinary dropout parking lot, right? So we got these three ladies and somehow they get into it with a guy who turns out to be an off-duty TPD officer. So we've seen that. I've watched the video, right? And what's interesting is, of course, is you have the guy on top of the two ladies, right, in the parking lot, while the daughter, it's so interesting. So this it's human behavior is really hilarious, right? So they're talking about, I guess momentarily the guy's knee was on one of the ladies' neck in this whole thing, okay? Now, I don't know why he needed to do that. These are older ladies. This is not... Unless I, no one's saying anyone pulled a weapon or anything like that. It just seems like they got into a scrum. We'll see. Okay. But here's the interesting part. The daughter is she's on the phone calling 911 and filming it. Now, Matthew, if your mom had a dude on top of her in the parking lot, here's your choices. This is like the old 1980s choose your own adventure books. Okay. Would Matt film it so he can use it later in a lawsuit or protect your mother by jumping on the guy and trying to get him off? Which one are you going to do? Matt, is it A, film, or B, save your mother? What would you do? I just want to make sure my priorities are straight.
Take care of mom first.
Hell yes.
And then, you know, whatever.
But. It's so bizarre. Again, this is just the way that the culture is, right? She would rather film it so they can sue this guy later than save her mom.
Right.
Now, the interesting part is that this guy and his the cop and his attorney are saying that if you look at the security footage from the culinary dropout, it shows a different picture. of what went on. Now, what's interesting is little Timmy does a story about this, right? Only based on one side. And then he says, well, it'd be real interesting to see if the cops can do this. How do you do this story without talking to anybody on the other side? Right? And then the first guy to come out and smack little Timmy in the face was Magnus. Again, Tim, I get it. You can't stand the cops. I got it. I don't know. This guy could be wrong. It looks wrong. Right? It looks wrong that I got a...
The optics are not good.
Right. Yeah. I got a cop with his neck, knee on this lady's neck. It looks horrible. He could be wrong. It's very possibly he could be... I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. But I did find it funny that he wrote a one-sided piece based on the video and the ladies, but never talked to... I mean, he even talked to anyone from TPOA or whatever. Or even talked to Rankin. He's the attorney for the cops. If there's anything, right? Or I wasn't an official. So go talk to somebody that's, or go say you attempted. I don't know. Did you talk to Magnus? I don't know. It just feels weird that that's how he handled it.
There's a lot of weirdness about that. I'll tell you another thing. Three cops were exonerated in Naked Coked Up Boy, right? Naked Coked Up Guy.
Yep.
They were exonerated, but then the video comes out and immediately everything changes because of the video. Right. And now you have the chief of police saying, oh, but well, you know, the video only portrays part of the story. Right. Right.
It's all the, you know, human nature is a hell of a thing. Right. But I'm just telling you, back to the daughter. If some dude had a knee in my mom's neck, the last thing I would be doing is standing there filming it.
Right.
And if she either jump on the guy, go find a tire iron in the back of your car and beat his head in, but I'm going to get that guy off my mom.
Right.
I would also love to know the blood alcohol level of everyone involved. That's the other thing I'd love to know. Not that they did it.
And at least, thank goodness, whoever the other guy was that walked up and said, hey, look, you know, why don't we just all stand here until the police get, why don't you get off of those two ladies and why don't we all just stand here? I'll make sure nobody leaves and we'll all talk it out calmly with the police when they get here.
Right. Again, very weird situation.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's, I'm sure there's more to the story, which is why people having mass hysteria reactions to videos in general is troublesome because it's best to know the whole story.
Right.
That's that.
When's the media getting in? When does a majority of the media, when are they in for the whole story? Right. Before this show's over in the third hour, I'm going to read two amazing letters to the editor about the Teddy Pendergrass piece that are unbelievable. When we come back, I will probably read, if I don't have time or not, maybe we'll have to do the third hour, the Laura Conover op-ed in the paper. Now, the good thing is she does admit that homicides are off the wall in the region. And then it goes downhill from there. So, Alan Sherman, here we go. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 voice. It's his birthday today. Here we go. Man, we're getting a lot of Alan today. He's the man. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Listener Dave would like to, if you want to donate to Veterans United for Cannabis, you know which David is. So, I think I'd rather give to the Veterans United for Cannabis than Dr. Robbins. So, I'm just telling you guys. Stop giving the universities. You've lost your minds. I am fascinated to see what Kyle Rittenhouse does on defamation lawsuits so he can join the Nick Sandman Millionaires Club. That would be magical. I forgot who said it, but someone suggested that Rittenhouse, in addition to going after CNN, the ladies on The View, and all this other stuff, you go right after Biden. You go pound Biden with the biggest lawsuit you ever saw in your life. That would be, if Rittenhouse sued Biden for defamation of character, that would be amazing. This is from Steve Green in PJ Media. Details are thin, but Biden reportedly will suspend his vaccine mandate for federal employees. According to a memo issued by the Biden administration, quote, the White House's Office of OMB, of Manage and Budgetment, Budgetment, why just put them together? Budgetment. He's finally cracked. Manage and Budgetment, Management and Budget is telling federal agencies they should hold off on suspending or firing federal workers for not complying with the vaccine mandate until after the holidays. This is a huge cave-in for an administration whose remaining anti-COVID effort is always about vaccines. Shouldn't there have been, you know, we talked about the effectiveness of the Merck drug. Why did they bring the Mad Hatter out for a weekend at Bernie's moment where he says, man, this is a cool thing. Isn't that amazing? You know, one of these pharmaceutical companies actually might have done something good, which is a pill that, I don't know, reduces death from coronavirus. You know, call me crazy. But of course, everything is about this thing about vaccine, right? One of my favorite little stories of yesterday, one of the guys who has rightfully pounded the crap out of Dr. Doom Fauci is Rand Paul. Okay? I love the fact that Fauci goes on, you know, ruining people's lives on the Sunday shows by spreading his fear. And he says that an attack on him is an attack because he represents science. Dr. Fauci, this little weenie, represents science. Okay? And Rand Paul had a great response to this. When a government bureaucrat has the audacity and arrogance to say they represent all science, we should be running the other way. It conjures up images of the medieval church and their repression of science. Science has nothing to do with having obedience to any kind of government dogma, unquote. He urges Americans to still listen to Fauci because most of his public comments and requests contradict scientific research. Quote, he isn't talking about a study on this or a study on that. He's just talking about wear a mask. When you talk about peer-reviewed studies of masks, one done in Denmark showed that masking edicts don't work. The Republican also noted that there has been zero infections among the 1.8 million children in Sweden, despite none of them wearing masks. And there is a relatively small infection rate amongst their teachers. Quote, it turned out the teachers are infected at the same rate as the rest of the public, Paul said. So this is the exact quote from Dr. Doom. Quote, they're really criticizing science because I represent science, unquote. What a psycho. Reminds me of that scene from the old Flash Gordon movie with Max von Sydow and Sam J. Jones when the robot says, this Ming is a psycho. I know Biden can't get rid of Dr. Fauci because he was the wedge against Trump. And if he gets rid of him, of course, it would somehow look like we're, even though it'd be the best thing for the psyche of the country to get rid of Dr. Doom. All right, holidays today. It's National Personal Space Day. Now, I want to tell you, Christy Simone has been a fan of personal space before social distancing. All of you people that need to get 3 inches from my face to tell me something, not necessary. God gave you a voice and some lungs and you could project, okay? I don't need you that. And the other thing about Personal Space Day, during the Rona with these people with their masks, they're wearing a pair of dirty underwear on their face, right? Or their little chin strap, right? I remember being at Walmart with my son about a year ago, and this lady comes right up to him, like 3 inches from his face. I'm like, what do you think you got? You got a welding mask on, lady? Back off, everybody. It's National Moose Day, not Mouse Day. Chocolate moose, of course, being the king of the mooses.
Not Bullwinkle.
Not salmon moose either, for you pythoners in the meaning of life. And then it's Computer Security Day. So for all of you people who are still using ABCD for your password or 1111, stop it. Or using the word password for your password, which is also amazing. All right. They're in the green room right now. Former Representative Chris Ackerley, Carlos Ruiz. It's the refuting Frank Antonori hour coming up next. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk.